Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Kim Kardashian turns 41, although her boobs, butt, and lips are only turning 12. Well, hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more.
Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I'm not joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders. Instead, we have someone who I've wanted to have on the show for a long time. He's the creator and co-host of Podcast 42. Please welcome the very funny, very talented Chris DeVos.
You are too kind, and thank you so much. I've also wanted to do this show for a really long time. I listen to every episode, no cap, as the young people say. I think that's what they say. I don't know what they say, to be honest.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. Every time I hear that term and the busing term, busing means great food. I don't know how that came into play, and I don't know how no cap means, like, that's good or honest. I think that's what it means. But anyway, regardless of that, okay. Big fan, and I'm glad to be here. But I do have one question. Has Phil Rude done this show?
I don't think he's done this show.
Okay.
Phil has appeared on other things. He was on this year's version of the Smorgasbord Tour.
Okay, so if I'm on before Phil Rude, I'm even more ecstatic. Because my goal is to beat out Phil Rude in all podcasts, including the pop-up film cast. I'm going to try to be the most used guest on that show. So the fact that he hasn't been on this particular show makes me super happy. And when we're done, I'm going to message him and let him know.
I'm thrilled you're able to make it.
Yes, I'm thrilled I'm here before Phil Rude, so it all works out good.
We certainly contributed to each other's shows.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I've called in the Gravity Beard a couple times, but I'm real awkward on the phone, so.
You know, you say that, but I... One of my favorite things that you called in with was when it wasn't for this show, but it was for staff meetings when we were doing those, and we had road trip audio diaries, and you called in with your trip to Target road trip audio diary. We had Jerry Orne, who invented the road trip audio diaries, and he would travel like across the country, and you went to Target and called in four times. Just that part of the bit alone makes it one of my fondest road trip audio diaries we've ever had.
I really was at Target when I did it.
Oh, no, I believe you. I believe that's what made it so great. It was 100% believable. That's one of the things I like about you is that you're both funny and very authentic. Are who you are, which I appreciate. I think that's better comedy.
I appreciate that. That's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
Making me blush.
Well, if there was one thing that you would want listeners to know about you, what would that be?
Wow. I don't know. We work really hard on our show. We completely changed formats here somewhat, sort of. It's hard to describe. We used to do pop culture history, and we would stick ourselves into that history and then do a little episode around it. And since then, we've kind of branched out to really making our own mythos, our own unique stories that don't rely really on any backstory except for what you see like on TV and stuff. We'll take snippets from pop culture, but the stories are all original stories now, if that makes any sense. You really have to listen to it. When I was telling you off air, I'm so awkward when describing the show. It's amazing anybody listens to it.
Well, I can certainly relate to that because for 4.5 years I did Gravity Beard, and right up to the very end, I could not have told you what that show was about. And I did almost 260 episodes, and I couldn't even to this day, I can't tell you what that show was about. I mean, there was a few people that found it pretty entertaining, and I did also, but I could never describe it. Even now, I can't.
Yeah, it was really entertaining. I really like Gravity Beard. I like this new format too. But yeah, Gravity Beard hooked us up together when I found your podcast, so.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I'm grateful for that. All right. Well, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week. Hopefully today you celebrated National Make Your Own Pasta Day. Tomorrow is National Better With Bacon Day. Tuesday is National Lobster Bisque Day. Wednesday is National Chicken and Waffles Day. Thursday is National Filet Mignon Day, or Filet Mignon, if you prefer. Friday is National Curly Fries Day. And we'll wrap up this week of fabulous celebrations on Saturday with National Banana Cream Pie Day.
I can't imagine Olympic high diving would be better with bacon. Just throwing that out there.
That's a good point.
I mean, I love bacon, but...
Are you sure, though? Are you positive?
I'm pretty positive. Have you ever tried to make pasta?
No, I would never do that.
I would never do that either. It's 99 cents at the grocery store.
Right.
I mean, I understand it's so much better homemade, but it looks like a lot of work. I've watched videos, but you gotta like dry it on a dryer rack, and I don't know. I can't imagine doing it.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine that has made a lot of food from scratch just because that fits his personality, but I couldn't do anything that he does. For example, one of the things that he did, and he's very obsessive and particular about things, is that he wanted to hunt down the best coffee, and he couldn't find it. And I live in a metro area of 7.5 million people, couldn't find a cup of coffee he liked. And so he searched for the right coffee beans on the internet, went through a series of coffee beans, found those, and then converted his toaster oven into a coffee bean roaster.
Oh my God.
And roasted his own coffee beans, then of course ground them and came up with his own scratch coffee.
Is your friend's name Paul Chomo? Because that sounds like something he would do.
No, it's not. All right, well, with that, Chris, let's turn attention to this week in history.
All right, so for this week in history, in 1931, Al Capone goes to prison. 1974, Benji opens in theaters, or as I like to call Benji, the underrated lassie.
Right.
1977, Reggie Jackson, a.k.a. Mr. October, hits 3 homers and 3 swings. And as you know, I don't watch much sports or any sports, so I'm sure those 3 guys are pretty pissed. And also, how do you find 3 guys named Homer? 1982, moving on, John DeLorean arrested in $24 million cocaine deal. Actually, I think, just a side note, and I'm not 100% positive, so don't take this as fact, but he had to raise money. He raised money for that by lending his car to the Back to the Future series, if I remember correctly. Now he paid off some of that debt.
I did not know that.
1985, first Blockbuster store opens in Dallas, Texas, at Medallion Center in the building that is currently occupied by Applebee's and Mattress Firm. And that was a little note you put in there for me. Is that true?
It's absolutely true, and I'm very familiar with that shopping center.
Little known fact, in Florida, you're not allowed to be 10 minutes away from a Mattress Firm. That's a state law.
I believe it.
1985, Take On Me music video helps Norway's A-ha reach the top of the U.S. pop charts.
Did you know that A-ha was Norwegian?
I did. I actually do like the band A-ha, and they have several great songs besides that one. A quick question. Do you think that song would have done as well as it did if it didn't have that video behind it?
Not as well.
No.
It's a catchy song, and I think it came along at the right time, so I think it would have done well anyways, but not nearly as well.
I think it would have been an obscure cult hit for some, and I think most people never would have known who that band was without that video.
Oh, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, MTV launched a lot of bands.
Yeah, big time. 1988, Roseanne debuts. 1989, Orlando-San Francisco World Series game postponed because of an earthquake.
Or the Oakland-San Francisco World Series.
What did I say?
Orlando.
Oh, did I say Orlando?
Mm-hmm.
Do we not have a baseball team here? Yes, Oakland.
You're so sportsy.
I am sportsy. I got roped into this sports fantasy league that Keith is putting on. I had volunteered JL for my show to do it, and suddenly I had a team as well. I don't think Keith knows that I didn't actually volunteer myself.
Well, and you're not doing terrible, are you?
I'm doing okay. I don't know what my record is, but I think I've won one game at least.
All right, well, with that, how about the news with Adam's favorite jingle? All right, Chris. You know, on this show, we introduce the audience to lots of colorful characters, and today is no exception. Today, I would like to introduce you and the listener to 37-year-old Matthew Williamson, who was arrested and charged with breaking into a car and stealing property. And that's not good, but that's not a horrible crime.
Right.
However, he made bond and was released, and then 2 hours later, he stole a car.
Nice.
He did not get caught. He did not get caught for that car theft. 5 days after that, officers responded to a report of a break-in at a concession stand at the town's athletic complex.
Okay. It's getting better.
Police said the alleged suspect, and I don't know why they say alleged, because they clearly identified Matthew Williamson. The alleged suspect took a large quantity of snacks.
As one does.
So Williamson was found sleeping in the press box of the complex amongst piles of chicken fingers, candy, and meth.
That's awesome.
And this also happens in a lot of stories we discuss. They'll often say or do things that don't help their case.
Right.
So in this instance, upon being arrested, he admitted to the burglary and the car theft, and was taken back to Jefferson County Jail on Friday.
Was this in Florida, you said?
It was not. It was actually in Birmingham, Alabama.
Because it sounds like it could have been in Florida.
It sure does. He now faces new charges of burglary, criminal trespassing, drug and theft charges, and he remains in jail Monday on a $32,000 bond.
That is awesome. I mean, that is the way to go. If you're going to get caught doing anything and arrested, arrest me in a big pile of snacks and chicken wings and meth. Of course, meth.
And meth, yes. Chicken wings, candy, and meth.
I picture him just laying out on a bunch of potato chip bags with a bunch of half-eaten chicken wings and his little, I don't know how they store meth, but little baggies of meth just all over his chest there as they found him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just kind of drooling down his own face.
Yeah.
So I have a question, Chris. Do you think when this man's parents brought home their bundle of joy from the hospital, they expected one day he would be found asleep in a concession stand in a pile of chicken fingers, candy, and meth?
They probably trained him for it ever since he was a young boy. His dad is like, come on, son, we gotta practice stealing cars every day.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for any additional stories today.
Oh.
But I do have a headline. Three bodies found in burning dumpster after a biblical sacrifice led to five grisly murders.
You know, every time I listen to this show, you always leave me hanging. And I listen to every show just so I can catch up on these headlines that we never do. And somehow I always miss the results of these stories.
All right, well, with that, Chris, perhaps you have some celebrity birthdays for us.
I do have celebrity birthdays. Kim Kardashian turns 41, although her boobs, butt, and lips are only turning 12. It was a plastic surgery. John Kaczynski, 42. If we were doing this on video, at this point, I would turn to the camera awkwardly and give a little smirk. But since we're audio, I can't do that. Ryan Reynolds is turning 45.
He's one of my favorites.
I do love Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an underrated actor, too. He's very versatile, even though lately he's only been doing like the same snarky guy. But before that, he did a ton of different things.
I agree.
Eminem turns 49. Which is actually 11 years older than Stan and his girlfriend made it. Snoop Dogg turns 350, which in human years is actually 50. It's a little dog joke. Wyclef Jean turns 52. John Favreau, savior of the Star Wars universe, turns 55. Billy Zabka turns 56. And you, when you sent me this, I'm like, who's Billy Zabka? And then you fooled me because he's the Karate Kid guy.
Darn right.
Yeah. He usually goes by William, so.
I changed it to Billy Zabka.
I know. I got confused. I'm like, who's Billy Zabka? I thought maybe he was the son of William, but no.
The Zabka didn't give it away?
No, I didn't put that together until I looked it up. Okay. I worked today. Give me a break. Evander Holyfield turns 59. Jean-Claude Van Damme turns 61, which is a miracle after that truck commercial. Weird Al Yankovic, 62, underrated genius that he is. One of my favorite actors of all time, Jeff Goldblum, turns 69.
Nice.
John Lithgow turns 76, also very underrated. Pele turns 81, and he used to be the most famous soccer player ever until David Beckham married Posh Spice. And then Doc Brown himself, Christopher Lloyd, turns 83.
You don't refer to him as Jim from Taxi?
Oh, I love Jim from Taxi. Taxi was such a great show, but I'd be dating myself.
All right, how about some born this week, but now dead?
All right, thank you, Clay Groves. I have just one person who was born on this day, but is now dead. Thomas Edison died in 1931 at the age of 84. Today, he would have been 174.
Wow.
And we have just one quick thing, speaking of TV comedies, to do before we wrap up today's show. And I don't know how popular this audio is, but this is a brief clip of an interview of Jerry Seinfeld by Larry King. Do you know what I'm going to play? Have you heard of this?
I have heard this, where Jerry gets mad.
Yes.
Yes, this is classic. I love it.
I love it very much. And just kind of in a string of audio, last episode we played my favorite Norm Macdonald bit, his joke about OJ's favorite stabbing hat.
Oh, yeah.
So, which that's like one of a million OJ jokes that he made on Weekend Update.
Yeah, which got him fired.
You're right. I thought to follow that up, we'd play one of my favorite Seinfeld interview clips.
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You cancel them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
You? Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented.
Don't
this
most
is, a,
shows
is this still
down.
CNN?
Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also.
You would,
but, yeah, no, I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were.
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers last
okay.
episode.
What? Don't take like, it so canceled. Bad.
Well, that's a big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens. B-movie opens.
Can we get a resume in here for
B-movie
me?
B-movie opens
so
tomorrow.
Can go over?
We'll be right back.
Do you think in Larry King's mind that was the biggest mistake he'd ever made in his entire broadcasting career?
Yeah, I don't think he was expecting that. And I don't think Jerry was expecting that too. I a lot of times on these talk shows, these are set up bits, and I don't think that was set up at all. I think Jerry was flabbergasted. I'm sure Larry King wasn't a big Seinfeld fan, but his people should have done their homework big time.
Well, first of all, that was 100% authentic. There was no bit there at all.
Right.
That was an honest question by Larry King and a very honest roasting response by Jerry Seinfeld. And how could Larry King, after 9 seasons of Seinfeld, 180 episodes, how could, and just the history and all of the Emmys and just the reputation that the show had, even if you never watched a single second of it, how could he possibly not know how successful the show was? Like Jerry's response actually, in my opinion, is justified. I think it might have been justified.
No, I definitely think it was justified. I mean, that show grew to be amazing, especially what they did to it after the first couple seasons. The first couple seasons were like, eh, it's okay. And then it just got like really brilliant. And yeah, probably one of the best comedies, at least in the top 10 best comedies to ever air, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't remember what they tried to bribe him to do a 10th season. And it was some enormous amount of money. And I can't remember. I don't remember what it was amount, but it was a huge amount of money that any rational thinking person would have said, okay, I'll do one more. But he didn't. So I think that was a very honest, outraged response by Jerry Seinfeld that I get tickled about every time I hear it.
Yes. It's good to go out on top, except for that last episode. But we'll talk about that.
Because we don't have time.
No, we don't have time, but we'll do that off air.
But what we do have time for, aside from my very well executed segue, is time for you to talk about your show. And what most people may not know is that you, along with Keith Gallo of the Pop-Up Filmcast, run the Podfix Network.
Or at least we pretend to.
Right. You have all of us convinced that that's what you're doing behind the scenes. So why don't you just take a quick minute? We've got some new shows that have recently been added and maybe a couple more that are coming soon. Just speak briefly about those shows and then tell us where you can find you and your show.
Okay. Well, I talked about my show in the beginning, so we're Podcast 42. I won't go over that too much again. We are a scripted / improv show where we have our own original stories. The concept is we're flying through space. We land on different planets that are pop culture influenced from like radio and TV waves from Earth. So check that out. Really funny. Podfix Network. Chris, you actually got me on this network. I think it's going on 3 or 4 years now. I can't remember.
That's true. You and Keith both around the same time.
Yeah. So, Chris, actually, you got me an invite to the network, which is awesome. And we got accepted. And then the guy who was running it at that time had to step down and it went through some changes. And Keith and I kind of stepped up. But it's really, this network is really a family affair. A lot of people have a lot of different input to it behind the scenes. Most of us are friends, if not in real life, but we all communicate on Facebook, and the quality of the shows that are on the network are just outstanding. Coming new to the network, well, we got Armchair Radio, which is your other show. That's somewhat new.
Yep. If you like sports.
Yep. All your sports, even though you're not playing fantasy football with us. We won't say anything about that anymore. I got the Best Darn Diddly podcast, which has just joined the network, which is a podcast that breaks down every Simpsons episode. Also new is Down to Folk, which is a brilliant podcast. It's got a whole mythos behind it. They tell original folk stories, and they're run by an evil overlord of some sort. Brand new also is Love These Mother-Daughter Talks. Bryn and her daughter have all these talks on life and what it's like to live through a six-year-old's eyes. It's really open and honest. They're short episodes. Great listen. And The Irrationally Exuberant, which is also equally hard to describe. You have to listen to it. It is the musings of Reed, and I'm not going to slaughter his last name.
Messerschmitt?
That's very good. But even though I can't describe it, I highly recommend listening to it. It is an esoteric kind of journey through everything. I don't know if you can describe it better. It's just, it's funny. There's songs. There's fake commercials, and it's just like this madman rambling, but it's super highly entertaining.
Yeah, a small snippet of Reed's own description of his show is a scripted absurdist take on history, pop culture, and all manner of other topics. That's about as good as you could do in a few words or less of describing his show, but it's highly entertaining, and Reed does an absolute superb job of producing it. It's
really
fantastic.
Yeah, he's a one-man show, and it's like we just both said, you really just got to listen to it, and you'll be hooked.
Yep. All right. Well, and I know you won't say this on behalf of yourself, and you did give credit to other members of the network for doing different things, but you and Keith and Chad also, Chad Brockbrader of Down to Folk, you guys do a terrific job of running the network. You've been so creative and done a great job of curating and adding shows and creating a culture, so we really do appreciate it.
And we appreciate everybody on the network, so...
Yeah, it's a really great home for a podcast. Okay, just some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 214-531-3936. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search at PodFix on Twitter. Thank you to our dear friend Phil Rood for our custom logo. For my friend Chris DeVos with Podcast 42, I'm your co-host Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network.
Take that, Phil Rood. I got here first.
Perfect.